America's ace of the airways.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airways. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
One of the hottest topics of conversation among airmen these days, gang, is supersonic flight. Most everyone is pretty sure we'll have a plane break through the sonic barrier within the next few years. But as of right now, there's a lot of experimenting and testing that has to be done before the attempt can be made. If you remember back some months ago, a British flyer tried to go faster than the speed of sound. He got into a jet ship and hiked up the speed until it reached the rate at which sound travels, but then something happened. His plane just disintegrated, fell apart into 1,000 pieces, and the pilot was killed. American scientists have learned a lot since that accident. For one thing, they're making strict tests of the air around us, and especially what happens to it when an aircraft tries to better the speed of sound. That's where the sonic barrier comes in. When a plane gets over 700 miles an hour, it runs into a solid wall of air. And that's just what happened to the British pilot. His ship smashed into the barrier and broke apart. Many scientists thought we may never go through the barrier. They conducted experiments in wind tunnels where conditions could be made the same as anything a plane would hit. But even in those, scientists found that the air acted strangely when something went through it at speeds over 700 an hour. Then two Lockheed engineers found a way to test aircraft models in a wind tunnel at speeds up to 850 miles an hour. They put a rounded aluminum bump on the wind tunnel floor to make the air flow in a curve instead of straight. And in a few minutes, I'll be back to tell you all about the bump that may solve one of aviation's trickiest problems. So don't forget to listen. And now for our story. A stifling heat wave, which blanketed the Midwest from Canada to Mexico, has suddenly broken in the south. And Hawk, Tank, and young Christopher Cross, flying from Fort Worth to Tampico, are caught in a violent storm. Holding a course parallel to the coast, they're flying between the towering mountain peaks of the Sierra Madre Orientals to the west and the storm-tossed waters of the Gulf of Mexico to the east. They must hold a straight course. But suddenly, at the height of the storm, Pop sees the compass indicator spinning crazily around the car.
Pop, the compass has cut out.
Oh, no, not here.
Hank, I don't know which way we're flying.
Holy cow, then we might be heading straight for that mountain or else out to sea once as bad as the other.
Pop, isn't there anything we can do?
No, not without a compass. Hey, wait a minute. A ring. The watch, the magnetic compass ring, making a call gave me.
That little toy?
Let's see how much of a toy it is. Yeah, first put it on your fingers and keep your eyes blue on.
You bet.
Oh, Pop, that won't help us.
No, it's our only chance. Can you read it all right, Chris?
Yeah, I think.
What's that heading?
Well, if the needle is really pointing north, then we're heading west.
West? The mountain. Hang on. Keep the ring as steady as you can, Chris.
Trying to. What course do you want?
Due south.
Swing left a little.
Left. Roger.
Not too much. Hold it out.
Yes.
All right, we're heading south now. At least according to the ring we are.
Well, let's hope it's true. I don't think the major would throw me a curve.
Hey, good speed, I think.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's pointing straight back the way we came. So if it is true, we're okay.
You want it back now, Hawk?
No, no, you will. Sing out when I drift off course.
I sure will.
You think we'll carve through all right? The wind seems to be easing up a little. We passed through the heart of the storm, at any rate. Controls answering okay?
That's fine. No structural damage at all.
Then we'll be all right. I wonder what could have gone wrong with our compass.
Certainly. We'll check it when we reach San Pico.
Yeah, how we will. Maybe you feel safe letting a little rain tell you where to fly, but not me, brother. That'll be shown.
With a derisive lip at the rain securing Chris's finger, Frank turns away and stares out the side window, searching for a break in the tumbled cloud mass surrounding them. And as the minutes pass, the wind abates, the deadly flashes of lightning disappear, and the crashing of thunder fades to a mere whisper. In half an hour, the clouds begin to break up. Finally, Hawk shouts above the now smooth drone of the engine.
There! I can see the ground.
Where?
Get ahead through those patches. We're all right, Tank. See, there's the coastline off to the east.
Jumping. Yeah,
straight on course.
Tank, with the ring shows, we're still heading south.
Well, see, who'd have believed it?
Hey, you're convinced now, pal?
Sure thing.
Boy, this is some poor ring. Pop, I suppose you'll run it back now?
No, you can keep it, Greg.
You mean for good?
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy, thanks.
We should be fairly close to Tampico. That's 15 minutes, according to my chart.
Well, the storm must have held us up a little. But keep your eyes peeled, anyway.
Are we going to stay in Tampico overnight,
Pop? Well, I'd like to get to Merida and start looking for that abandoned city in New York.
Well, better be quiet over the Gulf at night. Lord knows how long it'll take.
Since we got the ring, we can do it.
Oh, no, Chris. The ring's well insured, but we've got to repair the big compass before we take off again. Thanks, right. We'll hold up in Tampico for the night and get an early start in the morning.
So, 20 minutes later, the boys sank the Mexican seaport of Tampico and, after clearing the car, come in for a smooth, easy landing. At the transient plane hangar, they discussed the necessary repair work with a mechanic.
About how long do you think it'll take you to fix the compass?
At least 3 hours, senor. I will have to remove it from the panel completely, and if there are any broken parts to be replaced, well, perhaps it will take even longer.
We got to get out of here by tomorrow morning and hurry, too.
I will do the very best for you, senor.
I can't ask any more, I suppose. Okay, there she is. Go to work on it.
Si, senor. Now, if you will give me your name, please.
Harrigan. Hop Harrigan.
Harrigan?
That's right.
Hop Harrigan. And the address, senor?
Oh, what difference does it make? That's a mistake.
Yes, of course, senor. I mean, where do you stay in Tampico? Should it be necessary for me to contact you?
Oh, I see. Well, we haven't checked in anywhere yet.
So if I may suggest, senor, there is a most fine hotel in the Avenida Nacional. It is called Las Palmas.
Well, good enough. Thanks for telling me.
Bueno. So I shall see you in the morning, senor?
Right. And have the ship gas and oil, too.
But of course, senor. Get away from there. Keep your hands from the aeroplano.
Who are you talking to?
The boy by the aeroplano, senor.
Oh, he's all right. He's with us.
Oh, your father, senor.
Hey, Chris. Yes? Come on, let's get going.
Okay.
All right, Chief. You do your best to get the compass fixed by morning, will you?
Most assuredly, senor.
Ready to go hop?
Yep, come on.
Adios, senores.
All right, stop.
He was a funny duck.
Huh? What do you mean?
He looked at you awful queer. Like when you told them what your name was.
Thank you, imagining things.
Well, he must have recognized you. After all, you're famous.
Thanks, Chris. Well, let's see if we can find a cab. What was the name of the hotel?
Las Palmas or something like that.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Oh, it's a good hotel.
Hope they got a good restaurant there. I'm starving.
Yeah, I was wondering when you'd say something about food. Let's hurry, Chris, before a tank withers away to a mere 200-pound shadow.
But as Hop, Tank, and Chris disappear around the far corner of the hangar, the chief mechanic, who had been standing in the doorway watching them, suddenly turns, rushes to the phone on the wall, and jams through a call.
Hello. This is Alvarez at the airport. Your Hop Harrigan has landed here a short time ago. Yes, his friend is with him also, the big fat one. See, they brought the boy. See, it is the one I heard Harrigan call his name. Chris, he said. They are going to Hotel Las Palmas. I directed them there. You know what to do now, do you not? Bueno. Adios.
A self-satisfied smile curling his thick lips, the mechanic hangs up and walks slowly back to the doorway. When he sees the boys leaving in a taxicab, his smile broadens in anticipation. We'll bring you the climax of today's episode in just a moment, gang, so stand by. A few minutes ago, gang, I promised to explain the bump that may solve one of the toughest aviation problems. I told you how two Lockheed engineers got the idea of curving the flow of air in a wind tunnel so that the air could go faster without forming a barrier at sonic speeds. Tests have shown that the airflow could be gotten through the sound wall and up to 850 miles an hour. The bump makes all this possible is built something like the wing of an airplane. It's made of riveted aluminum, 11 feet long and 12 feet wide. At the thickest point, it measures 2 feet. The metal bulge can fit onto the floor of most wind tunnels, and that makes it still more valuable. Right now, Lockheed is working on new-type supersonic ships and putting them through their paces in the newly equipped wind tunnels. These laboratory tests of a plane before it takes to the air are important because they show just what will happen to a ship in real flight. It takes months of tests and research in the wind tunnels before scientists can arrive at accurate figures, but in the end, they can let the pilot know what to expect when he takes the plane aloft. Once jet and rocket motors are perfected, Military and commercial planes will be able to reach much greater speeds than they do now. The big problem is to get safely through the sonic barrier. Once that's done, the other problems will be much easier. Lockheed Vice President Hall Hibbard says a practical supersonic plane is now possible within the next 3 years. Gang, the way aircraft designs and performances have been going lately, anything can happen. Everything is being done to beat a problem that couldn't be licked before. We're getting closer to the plane of tomorrow, an unbelievable speed and power. If any of you want to get into aviation when you get a little older, keep physically and mentally fit. And always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. It is early evening. Pop, Tank, and Chris are in the cafe of the Hotel Las Palmas. The low-ceilinged room is dimly lit and badly ventilated, and as they sit in a corner booth, Tank is grumbling under his breath.
So this is a most fine hotel, huh? The grease monkey's taste is in his mouth.
What difference does it make, Tank? We're only staying overnight.
I hope the food ain't as bad as the place looks.
There aren't many people here, are there?
Yeah, they know better.
Come off it, Tank. Cut the crabbing.
Oh, don't worry, Tank. You'll feel better when you get something to eat.
Hey, see? Chris knows you already.
All I can say is the food better be good.
Huh?
Yeah.
When do we get started again?
Oh, about 9 a.m.
And for Pete's sake, Chris, you stay in bed tomorrow morning. No more of this 5 a.m. routine.
It was 5:30. You said you wanted to get up early.
Sure, early in the morning, not the middle of the night.
Sure, but, senores.
Oh, what time?
For you, sir.
Oh, there must be some mistake, wait.
Senor.
Okay, leave it. Do you good, Chris. Put some weight on you.
Tank.
And no wisecracks either. Go on, plow in.
If you will signify when you are finished, I will bring the main course.
All right, thanks. Ain't bad. Ain't bad at all.
An awful lot of pepper in it.
Yeah, that's what they do down here, give you a lot of hot seasoning. Tank.
Hmm?
Easy on the sound effects.
What sound effects?
All I'm doing is eating my soup. What's the matter? Can I have some more of this?
Hey, sure, go ahead.
Are you finished with yours?
Almost. God, I'm awful sleepy.
Well, you've had a long day, Chris.
Mm. Yeah, well, we're turning it.
Hey, kind of sleepy myself.
Isn't it awful hot in here?
Yeah. Sure is. What's the matter with you two?
I don't know, hot?
I hardly keep my eyes open.
Tank.
Chris.
Great Scott. No, it can't be.
No.
But even as he clutches the edge of the table and starts to get up, a dancing whirlpool of utter blackness fills Hop's brain, and he sinks back, weak, helpless. He tries to call out, but the words die without sound on his lips. And as his eyelids slowly droop over his glazed eyes, he sees the figure of the waiter approach the table and quickly close the curtains in front of the booth, cutting them off from all possible aid. Then he sinks back, unconscious. Gang, our action-packed adventure takes a new and surprising turn in the next episode, so don't miss it. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. Same time, same nuclear station. Bob Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.